AJ, that was lit. Asbury students, faculty, and staff, are we woke? These are two words that I have studied under the leadership of our students. So thank you for increasing my vocabulary and letting me feel a part of your group. I want to thank God for this opportunity. I want to thank our chaplain's office, Reverend Greg Hasselhoff, for inviting me to step in. I also want to thank some friends who've traveled here to be with us in chapel this morning, and I'm grateful for that. This story that I'm about to share with you has nothing to do with what is on my heart this morning, but I think it makes for a great point that God is always at work in our lives, whether we are aware of it or not. I was 10 years of age, and my dad and mom took my brother and I to a place called Shatal Ashram. I had no clue what this Shatal Ashram was all about, but it was a place where Christians gathered every year for camp, for fellowship, for being encouraged in the Christian life. And for those of us that may have lived just a little bit longer, we know that the founder of the Christian ashram movement begins with none other than Reverend Dr. E. Stanley Jones, who is a very valued member of the Asbury community. And so the reason I bring up this story to you is because at age 10, can you remember what you were doing at age 10? I was asked to perform at this ashram at age 10 to sing. Well, I will not share the embarrassing moments of me being on stage at that point in age, but I sang with all the courage that I could, tears flowing and voice cracking. I still made it through. And at the end of that moment, my brother Emmanuel and I, were invited to a fellowship after that, which happened at the lake. So this place, Shatal Ashram, is surrounded by seven lakes. So Shatal means seven lakes. And here I am sitting with Bishop James K. Matthews, who is the son-in-law of E. Stanley Jones. I'm age 10. I had no clue that Asbury University, let alone Asbury Theological Seminary, existed, let alone that Wilmore existed. Because I'm still back in India, still back in Mumbai, having no exposure to these places. So you never know when God is at work. And so we need to wake up. We need to wake up to God's divine movement in each of our lives. If you hear nothing else this morning, my dear students, I want you to hear the plea of my heart, which has come from having lived in several wilderness-like experiences, that I need to wake up to the divine work of God in my life. Will you wake up to the divine work of God in your life? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I have three questions for us to ask of ourselves and reflect on this morning. What do you care about? And I really mean it. I really want us to think about these questions. What do you care about? Do you believe anything good can come out of the wilderness? And are you willing to enter your wilderness for your blessing? What do you care about? Do you believe anything good can come out of the wilderness? And are you willing to enter your wilderness for your blessing? If we could have the slides, the images of a wilderness, I just want us to take a look at what a wilderness looks like. If you haven't seen one, I haven't actually been to one, but these are just some images that I wanted to show us, because wilderness is a place where human life cannot persist. It is not a place made for you and I to dwell in. In Isaiah 43:19, we meet Israel, the people of God, at the end of their Babylonian exile. The exiles have experienced a crisis of faith. Have you experienced a crisis of faith? They have questioned, is Yahweh not powerful? Has Yahweh abandoned us? Have you ever asked yourselves these questions? Have you ever experienced a crisis in life where you feel like it's impossible to get out? And all you can experience is the feeling of drowning and going under. And that's when these questions arise. Is God not powerful to save me, to protect me, to provide for me? Has God abandoned me? Has God left the scenes? Where is God in the moment of your crises? Where is God in the moment of my crises? Or where is God, for that matter, in the moment of Israel's crises? It is at this juncture of crises in the exilic journey of Israel, we find these words. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. A further study tells us that the fulfillment of the promise that God had made came through Cyrus II of Persia in 539 BC. Not only will Cyrus allow the exiles, the Israelites, to return to their homeland, but he will also provide financial assistance to allow them to rebuild their city. There are several understandings of wilderness. The two I want to live this morning are: a wilderness is a region uncultivated and uninhabited by human beings. Wilderness is also living away from the presence of God. Be reminded that God is everywhere. It is you and I that are living away from the presence of God. Oftentimes, it is so easy to misunderstand because we don't take the opportunity to fully understand. And there are many reasons for why we don't understand or don't fully hear something out. Because we're way too busy trying to get to the next thing. So I want to make sure that you hear this morning that God is everywhere. It is you and I that are living away from the presence of God. Now, why do we experience this wilderness, or why did Israel experience this wilderness? There are many reasons why we may experience a wilderness: because of sin, because of faithlessness, because of idolatry. The list can go on and on. However, in relation to our passage, it is the sin, the faithlessness, and the idolatry that are among the prime reasons for the wilderness experience of Israel. It was very clear that when God came and made his home in the midst of a people called Israel, he shared with them what he expected of them. He told them that they shall have no other gods before me. He told them something to the fact that you shall make no other idols before me. And yet, our human propensity towards these components of sin and faithlessness and idolatry is so severe that we sometimes reap a wilderness for ourselves. Now, if you really think about it, and I just want to put myself in this experience, there are wilderness moments that I have experienced that I have had nothing to do with. I have experienced darkness and brokenness that I had nothing to do with. There are experiences of wilderness moments that I had everything to do with. Because of the choices that I made, because of the decisions that I made, because of the fears that I gave into. Just add whatever it is that seems appropriate to you to that list. So there are times when I have had nothing to do with the wilderness that I experience. But then also there are times when I have had everything to do with the wilderness that I experience. Oftentimes the wilderness comes because we have stepped away from the things that God has told us not once, not twice, but repeatedly. It sounds like maybe we have a hearing issue. I don't know, but you know, let me just step aside from my sermon points this morning. But for those of you that love assessments that help us understand who we are as a personality, let me just share with you that I am an INTJ. Any INTJs in the house? Thank you. Wow, we're in a minority. Any Enneagram followers here? Thank you. I am a 5 on the Enneagram. And do you know what that is? Anybody know what 5 is? It's a person that loves to gather information, loves to study and ask the why questions, which is why if you're really paying attention, you will notice I have a lot of questions. But the reality is that these questions are something that I live with often, if not every day. Right? So I want to make that connection that oftentimes the wildernesses that we experience have nothing to do with us. And oftentimes the wildernesses that we experience have everything to do with us because of the choices we make. There is an image, I think there's a slide in here, of Jesus in the wilderness. So I want to mention 3 other persons from our Bible, from our Old and New Testament. I want to remember Moses, who lived in the wilderness for 40 years. I'm not quite sure that Moses willingly chose this wilderness. But you recall the incident back in Exodus that Moses had killed someone. And that drove him into the wilderness. He had done something wrong, and that drove him into the wilderness. Now, the image I have up here is of Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. And we're told, if we read the text very closely, that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. But I think there are some very critical points that we get to learn from Jesus' presence in the wilderness. And that is, at least in this image, Jesus does not look excited to be in the wilderness. So that tells us, that tells me, that it's okay to be in the wilderness. But what I take away from the story of Jesus being in the wilderness is the deep and abiding faith that you and I can have in the midst of our wilderness in Jesus Christ. We can trust him because he's been there. We can trust him because he has persisted and shown us the way. In his sermon, The Wilderness State, John Wesley explains the wilderness state as loss of faith, as loss of love, as loss of joy, as loss of peace, and the loss of power over sin, and recognizes that the causes of the wilderness or the darkness that you and I experience are due to sin, rebelliousness, ignorance of the work of God, and temptations. If you find yourselves in any one of those listings, are you without faith? Are you without love? Are you without joy? Are you without peace? Are you without the power over sin that is creeping, that is trying to get in and take hold of that place that only God can have a hold of? Are you in a posture of sin? Are you in a posture of rebelliousness? Are you living in a posture of the ignorance of the work of God? Are you living in a posture giving in to temptations? I know that I have found myself in all these places. But that is human reality. But I don't want to leave us there. I don't want to leave us there because the text, the Bible, does not leave us there. Back to Isaiah 48:19. A few things for us to take away from this incredible verse. God says, I am doing a new thing. The text does not say, you are doing a new thing. The text does not say, you ought to be doing a new thing. God is the one working on our behalf, on your behalf, and my behalf, because the power over sin belongs to God. Oftentimes, if not many times, we forget it is God who is doing a new thing. We take charge in places that God is the only one in charge. God is in charge of your life and of your destiny. The only thing you and I are in charge of, at least I have learned, is my response to the work that God is doing. I am in charge of shaping my response to God's faithfulness. I am responsible for being obedient. I am responsible for not giving into temptation. I am responsible for keeping myself from doing the wrong that I am so tempted to do. The second takeaway, do you not perceive it? Such a great question. Do you not see it? God is doing a new thing, and he is wondering if we see it. We're so used to to seeing and being in the state of wilderness, that we're not able to perceive the new thing that God is doing. All we see is our brokenness, and we have forgotten what it means to be whole. Anybody feel that way or has wondered about it? We have lived in the wilderness so long that our lens, our vision has now become trained in being broken or focused on the things that make us broken. We live in our sin, in our fear, in our anger, and the list goes on. And that is the list of the many ways in which you and I are broken. The third thing, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the deserts. God's plan is not tentative. God's plan is definite and confirmed. I will make a way in the wilderness. Even after sin that Israel has lived in, even after the sin that you and I live in, God sees us as forgiven. Do we see ourselves as forgiven? Do we look at others as forgiven? Or do we still see ourselves as sinners? And do we still look at each other as sinners? I think sometimes the hardest thing that I have learned and seen is that I hold the sins of others over their head. I don't ever let them live without that sin, because my behaviors continue to indicate that I see you as the wrong that you did. Back to my three questions in the beginning. Asbury students, Asbury community, what do we care about? Do you care about your wilderness? Do you care about getting out? Because if you don't care about anything, the conversation will be very different. But if you care about something, which I have come to believe after being in our community for 15 years, is we do care about the work of God happening here and abroad. And the work of God is not easy to do. The work of God requires us to engage in ways that perhaps we're not ready yet, or perhaps we're not comfortable. But I just want to keep it personal this morning. What do you care about? Do you care about becoming rich, becoming popular? Do you care about looking good? All of those things are good. But I hope that in addition to that, you care about being right with God and right with each other. That is what I ask myself every day. What do you care about? Do you believe that anything good can come out of the wilderness? I want to triumphantly proclaim that good will come from your wilderness as long as you are in it with God. Thank you for that, amen. The wilderness produces something good when we have the right lens. When we look at our wilderness not as an identity marker, but as our opportunity to become more of who God wants you and I to be. Are you willing to enter your wilderness for your blessing? Your wilderness is perhaps the key to your blessing. Your struggle is perhaps the key to your success. Please hear me. Our God does not want us to be in a wilderness state. He wants us to fully experience the life that He has designed for us to be. Submitting ourselves to God is the greatest thing we can do, next to repentance, repenting of the wrong that we have done, and stopping our propensity, our desire to continue in the wrong, because it is so hard to get out. But it is not impossible. So submitting ourselves to God is the greatest thing we can do, next to repentance, seeking forgiveness, and living in the ways God has revealed to us through Jesus Christ. It has been revealed to us. And now our responsibility, my responsibility and your responsibility, is to walk in that revelation. Let us get into our wilderness so we no longer live in the shadows of our brokenness, but in the light God has made available to us in Christ. Do you hear me? Let us get into our wilderness. Will you take that challenge up with me? Because every day I try to enter my wilderness, the place of my brokenness. I'm not excited to get in there. But will you join me in taking the opportunity to get into the wilderness so we no longer have to live in the shadow and in the power of our brokenness, but in the light that our God has made available to us in Jesus Christ? We are not meant to live in wilderness, but oftentimes we must get into our wilderness to get our blessing.